Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today, I mean, this setup looks completely different. You might be like, where are the wireless mics? Where's just the only laptop? Yeah, it's pretty messy here today, but shout out Donnie for all of this new equipment. I mean, it is awesome. This is my first time using all of this stuff, so I'm sorry if the audio may sound, you know, a little bad, but I mean, with the stuff that we have today, the audio should be pretty good. I'm just not used to working all of it and adjusting the volume and doing all like the soundboard stuff. But shout out to my guy Bobby for helping me with that today, just giving me a little basic intro with all of it. So I'm very thankful for that. So I'll do my best to, you know, learn this and try to get better with it. But shout out to Donnie again, because this is what's really going to take my podcast to the next level. So I'm very thankful for that. But we have a very special guest today, my cousin Marina Powell, hopping on the podcast today. She's experiencing all of this stuff with me, so I'm very excited for it. So thanks for hopping on, Marina.
Favorite cousin, but thanks for having me today, Marcelo.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely like a top 12 favorite cousin, you know, for sure.
Fair enough.
But I'm very excited to go into Marina's sports journey today. Obviously, give Marina a proper intro. She's my cousin. I love her to death. We've seen each other grow up. Marina's, I think, you're 4 years older than me.
26.
Yeah. So, yeah, 4 years older than me. But obviously, we've seen each other's journey and how we've, you know, grown and progressed throughout our lives. So I'm very excited to get into these questions today.
All right. Let's get it.
All right. Let's do it. So can you share how you first got into sports?
Yes. That's a shout out to my mom and dad for throwing me into sports. I believe I started basketball in third grade. So it was co-ed at Notre Dame. Shout out Notre Dame Elementary School. So that's kind of how that started. And then, you know, throughout the years, I started joining more sports, volleyball. I did track, softball, little dance here and there. But yeah, that's kind of how my dad just threw me right in.
Wow. So growing up, did you have any like sport as like your, that was like your favorite or?
Definitely basketball and volleyball, kind of dependent on the day. I feel like those two, I felt the most competitive. I have that competitive spirit in me. And so I think those two, I definitely fell in love with the most.
Wow. Awesome. So growing up, like throughout your time, like how did they shape you as like an athlete, and how did they shape kind of like your journey from, you know, being little to like the middle school?
Yeah, I think playing sports definitely teaches you a lot. Obviously that competitive nature that, you know, when you're kind of our age, you could take that into your work life, which is amazing. It kind of teaches you, obviously, like a sense of community, friendships, kind of learning how to pivot in life. Because, you know, you could go into a game, you're going to do this play, it's not going to work. You have to learn how to pivot.
Right.
So definitely a lot of little life lessons in sports, I'd say.
Wow. Awesome. So who were like your role models growing up, both in sports and in life?
Sports, I'd give that one to my dad. He was honestly my coach for basketball and sometimes softball all throughout my life until high school. So that definitely, we had a pretty big bond with that. He would call me Scoots because I would run up and down the basketball court. So that's how I got my nickname, MP Scoots 25 on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think it's a very special bond when your parent is kind of growing with you in a sport that you love. And as well as my mom kind of watching from the sidelines, cheering me on. I remember while I was running track, I could hear her screaming literally during my race.
Yeah.
So definitely my parents, my grandpa, you know, grandpa Morgan.
Yeah.
Would come to literally every single one of our sporting games since we could remember.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of just pushes you to do your best. And yeah.
Yeah. Like the one thing that was cool, I mean, to kind of touch on the grandpa Morgan part, obviously both my grandparents, you know, passed like when I was kind of little, but it was awesome because, you know, he'd always come to like my games. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of like that, like grandfather, like figure, because, you know, obviously, you know, mine are both up in heaven, but you know, he was the one that kind of came to like those games, and just having like family there kind of really pushes you to like the next level. Cause as soon as you go out on that court or field, you know, you have family up in the stands. Mm-hmm. And you always look to see if they are there. So
exactly. Loud family.
Yeah. Extremely loud family. I mean, we have a bunch of stories that we'll definitely get into for sure. I know I have one from you from my high school days, but we'll save that towards like the back end. So just talk about your experience playing basketball at NDCL and how that kind of shaped your high school journey.
Oh boy. Well, first I'll start off by saying I played volleyball through my freshman year, played JO as well. But unfortunately in eighth grade, I was a happy, healthy, go lucky, athletic kid. And one day my life changed in a blink of an eye. I started passing out and having pseudo seizures. Long story short, I was diagnosed with POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. I'm not going to go too much into it, but it's basically lack of blood flow to my heart and brain, which causes you to have pseudo seizures and a wide variety of symptoms. So I was in the hospital I had to get taken out of eighth grade. I went into high school freshman year. I had to quit volleyball, quit all my sports, which is pretty devastating, especially at that. It's a weird age for your life. I mean, you're kind of just starting your life. You're going into high school, trying to meet new people, kind of excel in your sports careers and whatnot. And to have that taken away from you is nothing less than heartbreaking. But then my senior year, I was, you know, starting to feel better. I went back to high school. It was sort of manageable. And I was really excited to try out for basketball. I was like over the moon that my parents were letting me, the school was letting me. So I remember I went to all the workouts, all the team meetings. I even got my jersey. And unfortunately, after the weekend, the coach, you know, gave me my jersey and was like, obviously, like, you're going to be on the team, because I had to get some procedure. Monday morning, he pulled me out of class and said, I can't have you on the team, but you can help me coach. And that literally shattered my heart because, I mean, I'm not going to play in college. Like, that was my last, like, chance of feeling like myself again. Yeah. You know, like, when you're so in love with a game and it gets stripped away from you and you have like one more shot to play again and then it gets stripped away from you again, like it's a very like I can't even put into words, but what was the question?
Yeah. I mean the question was to kind of talk about that, like, you know, experience, but wow, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, me and you have shared like, you know it's kind of like that stuff with like coaches, and I mean, you know, being like, you know, that person that, you know, shows up to all the workouts, shows up to everything, and then, you know, having that happens to you, I mean, that's just heartbreaking, especially like your senior year, like, mm-hmm. like your last time that, you know, you're going to be on the court, you're going to be with like your friends, like can't even experience like senior night, like all of that stuff. So
yeah.
I'm sure that was heartbreaking, especially like hearing that as like your cousin, like that was, it was so sad.
Yeah. And then I remember he also like stopped me in the hallway and asked for my jersey back.
Wow. In like the middle of like school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Just,
and when he told me I was off the team, that was like, he literally took me out of class, which, yeah, I mean, from their standpoint, like, I get it. It could be a liability, but, like, I mean, I was just a kid. Like,
yeah.
I don't think no one understands, like, how, like, traumatizing it is going through health issues at such a young age and, like, not feeling like yourself. And just, I don't know, just to go through that, when I think of that nowadays, it's just, like, it stings. But it kind of goes back to my first point where, like, in life, like, you're going to have to learn how to pivot. Like, things are going to happen that you're going to hate, that are heartbreaking, that are traumatizing, but it shapes you in a good way, even though you don't want it necessarily, but there's always a lesson learned in everything. So
yeah. So like what was that like between like the coach and like the team just after like that all happened? Like what kind of happened after that?
My parents were not too happy.
Yeah.
I think there was a meeting but kind of just like giving them like our point of view on it and how that's just like not right.
Yeah.
I mean, like high school is like when you're learning like a lot and like you're figuring out a lot and like you're supposed to be looking up to these people. Like that was supposed to be my role model, who I was trying to trust and who's supposed to care for me. And I don't know how people could do that to someone, honestly. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So that kind of happened. I did not give back the jersey. Yeah. You know that. And it's still in my closet. Number 25.
All right.
But yeah, that's kind of how that went down. Wow. And I never talked to him again. I'd see him in the hallways and I'm like,
yeah,
you know, dude, like,
yeah. I mean, like, you know, saying like, yeah, like, okay, you're on the team, then like breaking that and then
yeah,
that, you know, having that whole thing happen. Like, yeah, I don't know how someone could do that to someone else or make someone feel that way. Or like, I don't know if that's like power trip or something like that. But I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, like, you know, that happening, I'm sure tons of other people have gone through like similar things like that. And it's just sad because, you know, you kind of like how you mentioned, you look up to these coaches, mm-hmm. and they tell you things and eventually they'll make a promise with you and then next thing you know, they'll turn their back right on you.
Yep. And honestly, like, it kind of takes away the love for the game when it shouldn't. Like, you kind of hold like a grudge against that a little bit, which is not okay. And that's it's so sad to me how like you could be so in love with a game and you have that one person that just like shatters you.
Yeah.
It's so sad, but
yeah, I know. It's sad because like I feel like with basketball, like, you know, I mean, you start playing at like a young age. I mean, our family has played. I mean, even though like we are like a more so like football family, like basketball is like, we're both football and basketball, like,
yeah,
like we live and breathe that stuff. So just like starting off at like a young age playing, you know, the sports you love, like obviously you want to continue as you get older, and the fact that you came and do that, like, you know, because of someone else is just, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
What lessons did you take away from that experience, both as an athlete and as a person?
As an athlete, I guess enjoy it while you have it. I think we get very comfortable in life with things that we have that we don't. I think we appreciate it, but we don't appreciate the feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Until it's gone. Then you have that nostalgic feeling of like how good it felt, how much you loved it. Whereas, you know, when you're having it in your life as a constant every single day, you kind of get used to it, that you don't appreciate it as much. So my biggest lesson for that, appreciate something while you have it. Because an injury, like anything can happen in this life that like when you're enjoying something, when you're loving it, like soak it all up. I mean, I feel like I tell a lot of people that nowadays. I think what I could learn from just like my health issues, like I had it all until I didn't. And I think how this shaped me like kind of in life, I'm very appreciative of the little things now. You know, I take more photos, I take a lot of videos, like just like a small little thing that I can do. Like I could go on a mile run now and not pass out. Like that's yeah. awesome. Like I could go out and shoot hoops and not pass out. Like that's a win. So I appreciate the little things, and I don't take it for granted anymore.
Yeah. So. I mean, like kind of like to like touch on that. Like, I feel like as you get older, like you kind of have a more sense of, you know, gratitude and, mm-hmm. You're more thankful for like the stuff that you have in life. I mean, in high school, like, you know, obviously you're thankful for like the basics, but I feel like, you know, if you don't go through those hardships, if you don't go through like those tough times, and you really don't, you know, I guess grow, you don't learn from it. Mm-hmm. And also too, you know, you really appreciate even like the like small stuff that you have. I feel like, you know, when you're going through those hard times, you start to be thankful for the little things, like the food, like even like the clothes that you're wearing, stuff that you have in life. I feel like a lot of people, you know, they set their goals on the big picture, but in reality, like, you don't know how good you have it, like, mm-hmm. you know,
100%.
like deep down, even outside of sports, even outside of like the game.
100%. And like my mom kind of always instilled in me, like, obviously, like, everyone's feelings are valid. Like, if you're going through something traumatic or like healing from it, like, obviously that's 100% valid. But like, I kind of started thinking like somebody always has it worse. Like, yes, like what I'm going through is like awful or went through, but like I have a great family, like I have a great support system, like I don't have to worry about a lot of things that like maybe somebody else does. So it could always be worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just have to appreciate it while you have it.
Yeah. I mean, even with like, you know, like even like I feel like, you know, whining or like complaining about stuff, Like, I feel like as you get older as well, you kind of are like, okay, like maybe I shouldn't like complain about that, you know, mm-hmm. someone else, you know, maybe going through something else. So I feel like it kind of gives you like a brighter perspective, but in the moment for sure, it definitely feels like, yeah, this is like the end of the world. Like kind of like, you know, I told like my story with college basketball and stuff like that felt like the end of the world to me. Like, I'm sure, you know, when that happened mm-hmm. to you, that was like, man, this is like the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that like, you know, I wanted, but you know, you definitely learn from experiences like that.
Yeah. And it gets better. Always I want to say as much traumatizing as this is, like, things get better and you will be okay. And your feelings are valid. Like, talk about it. Like, it's okay to complain here and there, but like, it's also like, it's okay to talk about it, because like, I feel like everything is very hush hush and people don't like to talk about their feelings and push it down. And that could lead to, you know, a domino effect. So
yeah,
talk about your feelings.
Always. So, obviously, you know, you are one of the strongest people that I know personally. You're one of the toughest people I know. I mean, you've been through so much, and, I'm a very proud cousin because I look up to you, because you've gone through so much in life, like at such a young age, and even going, you know, into your future. So I always look up to you, and I hope to be strong like you always. So what's the hardest part mentally about dealing with those setbacks, and how do you like cope with them?
I have a lot of setbacks. For example, this past year, or 2024, still going into 2025, I had a pickleball injury. Wear the right pickleball shoes when you're playing pickleball.
Yeah.
Kind of long story short, I had surgery, nerve damage, so I really haven't walked in over a year. Can't drive, lost my job because of it. I was in pharmaceutical sales, so you have to obviously drive, and I cannot. So I've had a lot of setbacks, and it's a very lonely feeling, but I will say, as chuggy as it sounds, like, it does make you stronger. Like, as much as I like wish that like none of this happened to me and my life like panned out as I hoped it would, or like I thought it would, I wouldn't be who I am, and I wouldn't be as empathetic as I am. I wouldn't be able to help others get through what they need to get through. So in a way, like, I am grateful that I've gone through a lot, because I don't know, I'm a very caring person. Like, I want to be there for others, and I have a good like grasp on like kind of like feeling people out. Like, I could tell when someone's like not okay and they're not sharing it. Like, I'm there for others. So always find like that little silver lining in what you're going through, because like, you could be helping others out even though your life is unwell, but there's always a plus in everything,
which is very, you know, like selfless, because, you know, for someone that's gone through so much, you could say, man, like, poor me, I'm going through this, going through that, blah blah, all this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you're really focusing on like helping other people, like, you know, go through stuff, or if they're having like a tough time with certain things, you know, you've like, you're there for them, you're that friend that's going to be there for them. And that's something that's like awesome. Not a lot of people in today would do that, you know. They're mm-hmm. very, you know, to themselves, I'm power hungry, I'm money hungry. But you know, I would say one thing about our family is that, you know, we're truly caring, and that's the one thing that we'll always look out for each other, and mm-hmm. we'll always, you know, stick up for one another when like something goes wrong. And that's something that I'm always
100% like the amount, like, I mean, your mom and dad, like Z and Uncle Jeff, like the amount of time like my parents couldn't be there if they're on a trip or something, like our family is the first one to say, I'll bring you to your appointment, like I'll meet you at the hospital. Like, we are like, these Italians are just like this.
Wow. So going into the next question, how do you think our bond as cousins has evolved from when we were kids to now?
Well, I could talk about boys with you now, but we're not gonna talk about that. I'm so sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I think, I'm not sure when it happened, but like, we got very tight recently. Like, the past, like, I feel like 2-3 years.
No, I would say like high school.
Yeah, but like tight. We're like venting to each other, like getting advice. I feel like it's like the past few years. And I think like with your basketball experience in high school and mine, I feel like that kind of like, you know, like we could help each other like get through that.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not an everyday occasion that like two people in a family kind of went through something similar.
Yeah.
So I don't know, definitely past few years, and like, in a way, even though I'm older, like, I look up to you in a lot of ways. Like, I mean, people can beat you down, but your confidence is like no other, and you can't teach that. I don't know where you came from, but like, you can't teach that. So like, I look up to you, because you're always like, something happens, you're like, it's fine, let's keep going. Like, you are like pushing through everything, and you're a go-getter, and like, I admire that about you. So I think that's cool that like, I could teach you like the really emotional stuff, and you you can teach me to like get up and go, like keep pushing through.
Yeah. So. And like, it's funny that you say that because when we were like little, like obviously like when you're kids, like you don't have deep conversations like these, but you know, you're kind of just out just playing and stuff. But I feel like, you know, once like we were all kind of like the same age, like, I mean, probably between Anna and then Sophia, like Sophia was probably in high school. Like that's when like we all kind of started like getting close. I mean, we've always been close as a family, but like we could actually like have like deep talks and like relate to things and kind of just like go over like life in general and like, kind of go through life. I mean, like it's crazy because obviously your sister Anna, my cousin, like, you know, she has Maeve. Like it's crazy now seeing like our family like growing and like expanding, and eventually like we'll be old and then, you know, we'll like what's it called, go to like Maeve's basketball games, go to Charlotte's basketball games. It's like,
wow, I was at Maeve's basketball practice the other day and I'm like, I mean, time flies. It is crazy. Time flies. She's like going up and down the basketball court trying to, she's like she just turned two.
Yeah.
So it's cute. Yeah. But I agree with you. I think definitely when Sophia went into high school and Dom and Bella, like we're all kind of similar in age.
Yeah.
I think when you guys got up to like high school years, we definitely got like on that like deeper level. We literally have family debriefs.
Yeah.
Like every time there's a party, cousins in one room, we're debrief time, tea time.
Yeah, just talking about everything that has like happened in our life. Which is awesome for sure. So how do you think our shared experiences as athletes shape the both of us, even though our paths have been different?
Kind of what I was saying before, I feel like we've learned how to pivot. And I think that's like the biggest thing that we could take out of everything that we've been through. Like I said, you could plan for one thing, 90% it might happen, but that 10%, like you have to stay grounded and figure out your next move like while it's happening, which is not an easy thing to do at all. And like going into like kind of like work life, like you're gonna take that into your everyday life. I mean, relationships, work, literally like everyday life. So I think even though like we didn't go through the exact same thing, we have like similarities. But I think how we learned how to pivot and we learned how to put that into everyday lives is probably our biggest thing that we've learned.
Yeah, and also too, I mean, kind of like going off of that, I mean, obviously like, you know, we've had those, you know, battles with coaches, but I feel like as we get older and, you know, we have kids one day and we see like, you know, like the coaching and like all of that stuff, I feel like, you know, like we'll have like a similar story to share to like our kids one day and eventually, you know, help them learn from it, learn from experiences like that. And even if, you know, let's say, I know for sure I definitely want to be a coach. Maybe
watch out.
Maybe you'll be a coach too.
Me? I'll be the psychiatrist.
Yeah, or you'd be like the social media director for the team.
Yes.
But I mean, like even being like a coach, I know, like, you know, I never want to make a kid feel that way or, you know, break someone's heart or love for the sport like that, you know, how coaches, you know, like what they did to us. But
and that's what I mean, like, yeah, like in the moment that is awful and like still, I mean, you think about it, stings, but like think about it, like our future of like what our generation can give to the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because we have those experiences, like we felt everything, we felt every emotion, and like we'll make sure like that does not happen no matter what,
right?
So
and Sue, I mean, even like, you know, we could say like our parents and, you know, Nona for example, I mean, the stuff that, you know, they went through as a kid, like we learned a bunch of that stuff and now, you know, we carry that on through our lives just with our toughness, strength, like just pushing through like each and every day, like no matter what, having a big belief in God, which is big. And I know those we have a lot of similarities for sure, all of us.
Too many.
Yeah, especially the loudness part for sure.
Yeah, we were very, very, very loud. Like, yeah. We had Mayor's birthday party the other day. There was like 40 something people. Yeah. I mean, it is like crazy loud Italian.
I mean, even at Christmas dinner, when like Anna was like, we were all doing like our like stories, and Anna was like screaming her story, and then like they all heard it from like the other side of the table. Yeah. They're like, all right, like you guys need to quiet it down over there. But we were just laughing.
Kids table forever.
Yeah, kids table forever for sure. So if you had to pick one word to describe our family, what would it be and why?
Loud. Kidding. One word.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Come on, you could think of like one word.
Loud keeps coming into my head.
Loud. Oh yeah, that's a great word to describe our family.
Caring.
All right, why giving. Caring? Why giving?
Funny.
Why funny?
Because we're hilarious. I'm just kidding.
I mean, like, you're not wrong, though. We are
funny. I would say, I mean, I think we're a very, very caring family. Yes, we are caring. But I feel like there's another word that I can't think of.
Generous.
But, like, sure. Like, our family is, like, my parents are, like, your parents are mine. Like we are constantly always there for each other, which is very rare. Like, we get together every Sunday. We have Sunday dinner at Nana's. We are at everyone's sporting events. Like, we are constantly texting the group chat, like, cheering everybody on. Like, we are very supportive. We're very supportive to one another. And that goes a long way, especially when you're going through a lot. Like, to have that, like, family community behind you, like, makes a world of a difference.
Yeah. No, supportive is a great word, actually.
Yeah, see, I finally got it.
Mine? I was going to say loyal.
That too.
Because, you know, obviously, our family is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely realize that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with a lot of, you know, today's society and people's, like, circumstances. I mean, I understand, like, our family is rare. And I'm very blessed. I thank God for that each and every day. But, I mean, we are so loyal. Like, I mean, if someone messes with our family, like, we are like, no. Like, we always stick up for each other. Like, we always have each other's back no matter what. And we just stay by each other's side. And we love seeing each other win. Like, we love seeing each other doing, like, great things. And, you know, we have a lot of humble people in our family for sure. And they won't, like, talk about their experiences. But once someone, like, sends it out to the group chat, then,
then our phone's blowing up.
Then our phone's blowing up. You're getting a ton of, like messages. But, kind of going off what you said. We are all very supportive of each other.
Very much agree. We're very blessed.
So now we get into the deep, funny stories. So what's a funny story you remember about each other over the years that still makes you laugh every time you think about it? Can I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so I have a few of Marina. The one thing that sticks out to me was when Marina first started on, like, TikTok, and, like, she was, like, trying to go viral. And which she did. But she was like, yeah, like, you guys gotta go check out, like, my TikToks. So we were all at, like, Nona's house and just going over, you know, like, going through, like, her TikToks. And there was one challenge where you dumped a gallon of milk on, like, on like, the head. I think it was, like, singing, like, a song or something, right?
I did. And eggs. I was cracking eggs on my head.
Wait, but didn't that video go viral, though?
Yes, they both did. My mom almost killed me.
Yeah, which
but
is,
they did.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It is crazy. I told you we're crazy.
But no, that's definitely the one story, and then that I always, like, laugh at. And then I think about too when it was against Chardon, and it was my junior year, and that's when all that stuff was going on with, like, my coach and all that bullying. And you know, so that game, if you haven't seen that podcast, you better go watch it. It's a great one. But my coach told me I was going to start against Chardon, and I remember me and my dad were talking about it actually a few days ago when you know, I told you guys, I said, hey, everyone in the family come to this game. I'm gonna start. I'm finally gonna play. Like, this is like my time to shine. And I ended up not getting in. I got in for 53 seconds, and that was only because the student section and the whole gym was screaming for me to get in. And
this is true.
And this man, out of every bone in his body, was trying not to put me in. But you know, I ended up going in. But Marina was screaming from the stands. She was like, put Marcelo in. And, like, everyone heard it. And then Marina and my sister go behind the bench, which is funny because my friends from Chardon at the time were all sitting behind the bench.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Marina and Sophia say hi. And then they're behind the bench and they're, like, yelling from behind the bench, put in Marcelo. I mean, like, it was awesome. And that was one of the funniest things, like, ever, because, you know, during such a hard time, like, you know, Marina always finds a way to make people laugh and always bring out, like, a smile. And, you know, even though it sucked not getting in and only getting in for, like, 50 seconds towards the end of the game, you know, it was definitely awesome having everyone there just supporting you and always having Marina making things better for sure.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember that was crazy.
Yeah,
he kept looking back at me giving me dirty looks.
Yeah. He was like who,
because
who
it was literally the where the players were,
yeah,
like right here, and maybe a foot was I was literally just like in this man's face. Like, okay. Yeah, that's funny. My favorite memory of you, this actually recently happened. I think I cried for probably like 20 minutes after. Marcelo decided to dress up as Buddy the Elf on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And literally did the scene where like Buddy the Elf like goes on the table and does that like weird dance, but like we would get in trouble if we did that, so we did it on the carpet. But like you are like, even though like you like irk me sometimes, like
irk? Irk? What is irk?
Like, you're hilarious. Like, I don't like to admit it all the time, but, like, yeah. You are funny.
Listen, someone clip this in the family right now. Send it in the family group chat so we have this forever.
I'm going to regret saying that. Yeah, that was actually hilarious. And I just love when we go on, like, nighttime drives. Like, you know, like, when we, like, go to McDonald's and get a McFlurry and, like, some French fries. Like, that stuff is just, like, priceless to me. That's, I just love it.
Yeah, times like those are truly awesome. And we definitely have a lot of stories. Like, I know, for example, like all those videos on like my old like iPod.
Oh yeah,
like when we were like all over, you know, Zia's house, just like playing games in like the basement. Like all those stories are crazy. But the one thing that's like awesome is just like looking back on all those memories, because I mean those times are awesome. And it's great too, because as we all get older, like we also have that like little kid inside of all of us, which is like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, you gotta grow up. Yeah, so
Nana said that to me the other day.
Really?
That I'm immature. I said, I'd rather be immature than boring. I'm like, we're just having fun. Yeah. Like, life is so serious. Like, sit back and laugh a little bit. Obviously, like, when it's time to be serious, like, lock in and be serious. But, like, we got one life. Like, live it up.
I mean, like, deep down, like, we're all, like, kids at, like, heart. Like,
of course.
And it's funny, too, because we'll always, you know, play family games together. Like, for example, a few days ago, we were playing horse in the middle of, like, people having conversations. And we were shooting basketballs from, like, across, like, the living room when people are sitting down eating, like, and then we always do like Jenga, we always do left, right, center, which is new. We just do like a bunch of, you know, like kid-like games, but that's how our family is. Like, we just love to have fun, and just like doing stuff like that is really like what keeps us young at heart, for sure.
Oh yeah.
But so this is a little off topic.
Oh.
But obviously I always ask my cousin Marina for relationship advice. And always ask for advice in general, just throughout life. So, obviously, my cousin Marina has been through a lot. So, if there's any, I guess, piece of advice that you would like to leave the audience about relationships, or in general, if you have anything to add. Marina was bothering me about this, but
I get to talk about boys now.
No, just leave like a piece of like advice you would say to people out there.
Okay, to the girls out there, I'm gonna give one to the girls first. For the girls, if you're in a relationship and you have this feeling that like something's not right, or that you deserve better, and you're kind of going back and forth asking yourself, like, am I just overthinking? Like, is it anxiety, or like, is this true? It's not anxiety. You're not overthinking. That's your intuition telling you. That's literally your body telling you it's not right. Get out. So that's my biggest advice, because I went through so many things where I'm like, it's my anxiety. It's not. It's literally your body telling you, like, danger, skedaddle. So please trust yourself, because if you even think for a second that you deserve better, you deserve better. So that's for the girls. For the guys,
Yeah.
For the guys.
I mean, usually, like, you're, like, pretty, like, good at this. Like, you know, you have an exact answer for me.
No, yeah. Like, well, I mean, it depends on the guy. But, like, okay, let's talk about you, because, like, you're a great guy. Like, I know that. I think there's a fine line between, like, going out of your way for a girl and letting her kind of, like, stomp all over you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's, like, this, you know, the guy has to provide. Like, the guy has to plan all the dates and do this and this and that. But, like, don't forget, like, the girl should be, like, making effort as well. Like, it should not be like you're giving with like them not giving anything back to you. So like, yes, like be a man and like, you know, but also like you guys also deserve to feel that love and like appreciation. So
awesome.
That's my advice.
Well, yeah. So are you happy now that you joined the podcast today?
Oh my God. Yes. I was literally tweaking today. I felt like I was going on a job interview.
But I do have one more thing before we wrap up this episode. So for those that don't know, I end every podcast with a "What does this quote mean to you?" quote of the episode. So pretty much I'll say a quote from a famous athlete, person in general. Just talk about what this quote means to you, and then you'll end the podcast off of what a quote that you live by every single day.
Okay.
So this quote is from Bob Marley, and it says, "You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice." So what does that mean to you?
This is true, Bob Marley. I mean, that kind of goes back with my pots. When you're faced with something and you either do two things with it. You either let it control your life, or you mentally become strong and say, I will get through this. I will push myself until the very end. I think that's something that I had to learn. And also, like, I don't want it to sound like there's not days where I'm like down bad. Like, that's a normal thing, especially when you're going through, you know, something traumatizing or life-changing, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot in life that you can control, but what you can control is how you look at it and how you move forward with it. So that's that.
Awesome. And then what quote do you live by every day?
The Lulu is the Salulu. If you know me, you know I use that.
All right, well then, can you explain what that means to our audience?
Yes, let me explain that. If someone calls you delusional, let them. Because you know what? If you're like in your delulu world thinking like, life is awesome, like I'm going to get everything that I want, like I'll get this job, or like I'll be with that person, or like I'll be able to travel. Like if you're like living in that state of like knowing like that's going to happen, like most likely like it's going to happen. If you're living in a negative headspace of like, oh, I'm not going to get that, that's not going to happen, like, you're right. Now it's not going to happen because it's just bad vibes. So, like, stay in your delusional state, because one day it won't be delusional. Delulu is the Salulu, I'm telling you.
All right.
Trust me.
Delulu is the Salulu. Famous. that, like...
Clip that.
Wait, who, like, came up with that quote?
I don't know.
Well, I think you were the one that came up with
it. I probably came up with it, or I saw it on TikTok or something.
That's, like, I think the first time ever that a quote has been said by the interviewee here. That's, like, you know, that's, like, came up with that quote.
Yeah, you probably should have had me on a long time ago.
Well, we tried, but I went to New York City.
And I bailed.
Yeah, exactly. But you also got to experience this new podcast setup, so.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. But that'll do it for this episode of From the Lands Cove Podcast. Marina, love you very much. Thank you very much for hopping on this podcast. And I'm excited that you got to experience this new equipment with me, with all this stuff. I mean, I don't even know what half of these things are, but.
Yeah, you look cool with this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Good
like,
job.
Kind of like very like a professional, you know. Yeah. These are definitely better, and it's more professional, and this podcast will hopefully keep on going up. So that'll do it. Thank you very much for tuning into the Lions Cove, or From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo. Make sure you like, comment, share. Also, too, on Spotify, there's a rating like with stars. So if you can leave some ratings, that would be great, and provide some feedback in the comment section of how I can be better. That would be great.
You're so proud.
What do you mean by that, bro? But thank you very much to everyone out there that's been listening and showing a lot of love and support. I mean, these past few episodes have been incredible. This is just the start, and I'm going to keep on going. So shout out Donnie, shout out Bobby, and thank you, Marina, again.
Thanks all for right. having me. Follow me on Insta, mpscoots25.
Don't follow her on Instagram. All right. Bye. Peace. See you guys.
Ciao.